Welcome to In the Seams, a podcast by Broken and Mended. And now your host, David Heflin.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of In the Seams, a podcast of Broken and Mended. My name is Tim Gunnels, and I'm one of the board members of Broken and Mended and also an occasional co-host of this podcast, which is focused on educating and encouraging those who, like me, suffer from chronic pain and illness, as well as helping those who support us to better understand the challenges and needs we have on this challenging journey. Recently, I was one of about 20 speakers for the 2024 Diamonds Conference Spring Event. This was an online event where many of us shared our own stories and offered encouragement to fellow sufferers. Diamonds is a beautiful community of grace, and God is working through Diamonds to bless other people. Today's podcast is a rebroadcast of my Diamonds talk and question and answer session, entitled, My Disease Does Not Define Me. I hope it encourages you. If you'd like to connect with me about this podcast, you can find my information and some great resources at brokenandmended.org. That's broken, A-N-D, mended.org. Thank you for listening, and please share this podcast with someone else who would benefit from hearing it.
Welcome back, everyone, to Diamonds 2024. We are so glad that you're here, and I hope that you enjoyed your break, enjoyed your rest. We are going to be launching into a session and with Dr. Timothy Gunnels. He is with Broken and Mended Ministries, and I'm sure he'll share more of his story and Broken and Mended. But before we get into it, I just want to remind you, we have a giveaway at the end of this session, and you can find the link in the description of this video. You can find the link emailed to you as I was corrected. But in the description of this video, you can find a link to the study guide, which Tim has contributed to the merch shop and the Discord forum and all of the things so that you can connect with Diamonds and get the most out of these sessions. So without further ado, I will turn it over to Tim and keep your questions till the end, because we will have a Q&A period at the end of the session. So welcome, Tim.
Thank you. I'm very honored to be here. I am Dr. Timothy Gunnels, but as my dad and I both say, we have the same doctorate. We're not the kind of doctor that can help you. Meaning we're not medical doctors. I do have a son-in-law who's studying to be a medical doctor, but the help I offer, I hope, is spiritual and emotional, and then I hope that does improve the physical, because we are holistic beings. We're created to be whole. I am a board member of Broken and Mended, and got my shirt on, and let's see if I can get that on. You see my email there, tim@brokenandmended.org. And I had an interaction with a lady when I was traveling today about Broken and Mended and what it's about. But we are here to provide resources and support and support groups, both live and online. And it has spread around the world, literally. And we're translating into Spanish and Swahili. And I'm sure we're going to go into different languages from there in some of our materials, but we are one of many organizations out there that are Christian-based, trying to support people with chronic pain and illness. And the reason I'm involved is because I'm a sufferer. I am a fellow struggler. I drove about 4 hours today back home to Middle Tennessee. I was in Atlanta the last couple of days with my sister who had cancer surgery. She's very dear to me. Her name is Teresa. She did well. She's recovering, but she's still in the hospital. And it's my mom's 84th birthday today, but I talked to her last night. Probably will not be able to talk to her today, but my mom's had frontotemporal dementia for the last 13 years. She's not aware that it's her birthday. But we know she has great value, and that she's a beautiful, beautiful person. I am honored to be one of the speakers for this conference. I'm thankful for Sarah and all the others who volunteer their time to put this conference together to encourage other people. As I mentioned, I join you as a fellow traveler of life and a fellow struggler of chronic pain and illness. I hope that what I share today will encourage you to keep pressing ahead and to realize that you have great value in the eyes of God. And I personally value you. And thank you for encouraging me today with your presence. So a little story, a little bit of my story of struggle. When I found myself sitting on my couch day in and day out in terrible pain, unable to climb stairs, to drive more than a few miles, or even pick up my little girl, I felt like I was no longer of any value to anyone, or especially my family. I felt like I'd let them down. And even to God, some days I felt like I wasn't valuable. When I had to take 2 to 3 naps every day because of debilitating fatigue and couldn't even help my wife carry in groceries, I often felt worthless. When I had to give up teaching Sunday school classes, leading worship, and keep my speaking appointments, I had to cancel several that I was looking forward to being a part of. I was convinced that life would move on without me and that any value I ever had was behind me. How could the things that had been such a big part of my life now be too difficult to do? I let my pain, fatigue, and self-pity take over my thoughts. It's what Satan wanted, but it was never the plan of the Lord. So I had to ask God to use me to be a blessing to others in the strength that he provides. And he's provided this avenue. He's provided opportunities with Broken and Mended. He's provided individual opportunities just to visit and share and encourage people. While I'm no longer in that 2-year-plus intense flare with my psoriatic arthritis, God showed me clearly that my value is not defined by any amount of pain or anything physical. Who we are and what we are worth is not defined by our pain, by illness, by our appearance, or anything that burdens us. We have worth, and we can be a blessing to others. I'm the youngest of 5 siblings. I mentioned my sister. She is the one and only girl of those 5. I come from a long line of strong and healthy men. But I was what they used to call, when I was younger, a sickly child. Beginning at 18 months, I had double pneumonia. Most people can't remember that far back, but I guess it was such a traumatic experience at the hospital that I have some vague images of what that was about. From that point on in my life, I have struggled from year to year with my health. I currently suffer from 4 chronic conditions, but none of them are who I am, and none of them determine my value. My physical pain, my struggles with diabetes, with psoriasis and eczema, and with gastrointestinal disease serve as regular reminders that I'm alive and that I must move ahead in the strength and care of the Lord. When I was in junior high and high school, and even through college, which was a really long time ago, I was very skinny. Don't worry, I'm not anymore. A lot of the reasons I was skinny is because I just stayed sick all the time. And I'm definitely not anymore. Now the doctor is like, you need to lose some weight. I was usually the last pick for sports teams. I was picked on for my appearance. Yet never, ever did I believe for an instance my worth or value or who I was as a person had anything to do with my physical strength, my athletic prowess, or even my physical appearance. I suffered through dark periods of anxiety and depression, but none of that defines me either. The one who determines my worth and defines who I am as my Heavenly Father, my Savior Jesus, and my Comforter and Guide, the Holy Spirit. I must accept that no matter my circumstances, no matter how I feel, no matter how others look at me or what they might say to me, my worth is already great because the Lord God values me. I'm created in His image. Jesus died for me, and the Spirit lives within me because I'm a redeemed follower of Jesus Christ. For more than 2 years, I suffered from the most intense of flares. I'd had plenty of previous pain and previous illness and previous issues, but I went into a flare that involved pain and inflammation in more than 36 joints. I have symmetrical psoriatic arthritis. It's often just one-sided for people or just in a few joints. Mine, it's both sides from my neck to my toes. And I say that it was more than 36 because that was about how high I could count before I got tired and had to take a nap. My pain levels hovered around 8 or 9 on a 10-point scale on my good days. The pain was never controlled, and I would often go lie down in the bed and cry. And that was just a few years ago. Yes, I was miserable, and I felt worthless. But I knew and still know that God loves me, and He was and will always be with me. And who I am is not my pain or my illness. God wants to work in us. He wants to work on us, and He wants to work through us. One of the benefits of such pain and misery, and it's hard for a lot of people to understand or fathom that there are benefits that can come with pain and misery. But one of those benefits is for people who trust in God and know Him and love Him, is that He can use pain and suffering and struggle to peel away the frivolous, the minor, the less important concerns of life from our hearts and minds and use it to transform us more into the likeness of Jesus. Not only do I come from a long line of physically strong men, but I also come from a long line of angry men. One of the works of the flesh that the Apostle Paul discusses in Galatians chapter 5 is one that I personally struggled with most of my life. As God tells Moses, he talks about essentially generational sin. I won't get into all the theology of that, but that there can be repercussions and consequences for 4 generations, and I feel like I'm in that 4th generation of angry men. And I struggled with what Paul says in Galatians 5, verse 20, with what most translations of the Bible call fits of anger. I'm thankful that God has used my pain and my illness to destroy that work of the flesh and give me instead a spirit of love and compassion for myself first, and for other people. I believe I'm becoming more of what He wants me to be and who He wants me to become through the physical challenges, through the weakness. It sounds very counterintuitive that what makes me most miserable physically works against the desires of my flesh and causes me to lean more on the Lord for my strength and producing in me something far greater than my natural tendencies. I want to remind all of us, when we are weak and frail, God often does His best work. Just a few of the people of the Bible, I think, of that, about that that God worked through and worked on are Abraham, Moses, Jacob, and the Apostle Paul, and only chose a handful. Abraham's a liar, and he's too old by the world's viewpoint. And it seems even by biology to produce an heir that God has promised. Moses is a murderer, and he's a fugitive. And he very likely has a speech impediment. Jacob goes from being a conniver and a deceiver, a supplanter. His name literally means deceiver or supplanter. To this person, and it's one of my favorite images in the book of Genesis, this crippled old man. He's crippled in his hip from wrestling with God. He limps the rest of his life. He learns to trust and worship God, and he's leaning on his staff, worshiping God at the end of Genesis. The Apostle Paul seems to have clearly suffered from ailments and weakness. These people, real people, all remind us that God sees the value we do not see. He wants to work in us and through us for his glory and for our benefit and the blessing of others. It may require, and I think it does require often, a reframing of what blessing may be, or a reframing of what kind of benefit we can be, or that, or the ways that God can benefit us through our struggle. That's one of the reasons I shared that about God removing that anger that so characterized my life for so many years. In the book of Judges, in the Old Testament, Judges 6 and 7, we read that Gideon was the youngest in his clan, and he felt powerless over a situation when God called him to be a deliverer of Israel, to lead people back to faith in him. In fact, Gideon is hiding in a threshing floor and down in a hole, and he's dealing with basically in a wine press threshing wheat because he doesn't want to be seen. He doesn't want the wheat to be taken. And when he's confronted by the angel of the Lord, he says, "Who am I? I'm this weak and helpless guy. I can't do anything." We read that Gideon was scared. He lacked trust in God's promises, and actually took some convincing when Gideon puts God to the test a few times, that God himself would deliver. And he didn't need someone strong to do it. He needed someone who would submit and trust in him. Gideon had value that only God could see. How Gideon viewed himself and his situation was not the truth. God had different plans. We are weak. We struggle. We cannot always think clearly because we feel awful. I don't feel that great today. One of the reasons I'm sticking to my notes is because I know my brain may not fully function as it should. None of that weakness, none of that struggle, none of that lack of clear thinking some days changes the fact that we have great value in the eyes of the Lord. And our disease, our illnesses do not determine our value nor define us as a person. We are going to have some time for Q&A at the end of my talk, and so I'm going to be moving ahead here with getting closer to the end, but I do want to spend a few more minutes reading and reflecting on some scriptures that help me to look past my pain and illness to a healthier view of life. When Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, crying out to God before his arrest, his trial, and his crucifixion, he urges his apostles in Matthew 26:41 to keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The last word is a big one for me. Jesus knows my flesh is weak. He's fully aware of my weakness. The Apostle Paul struggled with distress, and as I mentioned earlier, some ailments, I think for sure. He had some kind of thorn in the flesh, and I think that most scholars would say that thorn in the flesh had to be something more than likely that was physical. There might be some debate for that. We're pretty sure, if nothing else, he had a significant problem with his eyesight. Whatever it was, whatever that thorn in the flesh was, he prayed, and he was honest and open about this. He prayed for it to be taken away, but it was not removed from him. It was not taken away. In 2 Corinthians 12:9 and 10, he tells us God's response to that prayer. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses. Now that's Paul talking again. I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I'm well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. Since my daily battle with chronic pain and illness began, what the writer of Hebrews says about Jesus in Hebrews 4:15 has taken on greater meaning for me. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who's been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. I feel confident that Jesus wanted to give up several times. We see that in the Garden of Gethsemane, he wanted the cup to pass from him. I feel confident that the regular times that he would slip away into the wilderness to pray and spend time in solitude with the Father gave him the strength to push through the weak and weary moments. One more scripture before I start to close. Psalm 73, 25 and 26. Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. I mentioned key takeaways in the study guide, but in case you don't have one or don't have it in front of you, I just want to remind you of three things for sure that we talked about that I hope you'll take from this. I'm weak, but he is strong. His grace is enough. He is my strength all day long. Let me close by saying, I take many medications. I'm in the middle of a significant medication change currently for my psoriatic arthritis. I'm having to stop one. It was working pretty well, but not as well as another one probably will. And so the rheumatologist said, you got to stop that one for at least a month. I'm feeling the stop. I'm feeling the gap. I can't physically do many of the things I'd like to do. Sometimes I really am bothered by my inabilities and weaknesses. Many of my goals have changed. But many of those goals were really my goals and not how God wanted to use me. I rest in him when I hurt. I cry out in pain to him when I feel overwhelmed. He reminds me through his word and encouragement of others that I have great value in his eyes and that no disease will ever diminish or determine my value or define who I am in his eyes. I thank God that I can serve him in whatever ways he uses me, in whatever ways I can be useful. You have value. Even on your worst days, when you feel the worst, you have value and worth beyond what you can see. You and I are not defined by our illnesses. We are defined as image bearers of God. And he can work through us in our weakness. Please pray with me. Oh God, our Father in heaven, you are holy. You're great. You're loving. You're beautiful. You're amazing. You're faithful and true. I thank you for making us human beings in your image, to be bearers of your image all our days. Help us to find our value, our worth in being your image bearer. Be with us in our weakness and give us your strength. And may we understand that your grace is sufficient to see us through each day as we go through our struggle with illness and disease and pain and frustration, that you are with us and that you can do things with us that we can't even imagine. Open our eyes and our hearts to those possibilities. Help us to love ourselves and give ourselves a break when we need it, and to be a blessing to others every day. In Jesus' name.
Thank you so much, Tim. That was encouraging to me. And it's so funny. I was praying with Tim right before his session started, and we were talking, praying about specifically 2 Corinthians 12:9 and his grace being sufficient in our weakness. And I did not know that you were going to be talking about that.
You did not know it. That's right.
Well, now is a great time to ask your questions. We have some time set aside to, you can ask Tim whatever you'd like, or follow up on things that he's talked about. We have one to start with. Norma says, what steps did you take to move from feeling worthless to recognizing God's value and desire to use you?
It started with something very simple, and that was praying over and over again, Lord, have mercy on me, and help me to see your goodness. Mm. Along with that, I chose to spend a lot of time in the Psalms, especially Psalm 100. You know, I focus on thanksgiving. You know, Paul talks about in everything give thanks, rejoice always. In Philippians, he talks about thinking on the excellent and praiseworthy things, and he's writing from prison when he writes that. Surely he's suffering himself, and so that was the first things I did. You know, prayed very simple prayers. I prayed for focus. I looked in scripture, and I used the scripture as a guide for prayer, really practicing Lectio Divina. And the other thing I did was I've tried to be real honest with close family members, with my wife, about how I was feeling, even telling her I just don't feel worth anything. Because holding that in and not letting people know when you're feeling that way is very difficult. And it actually adds to our anxiety and depression. And so turning to people who will listen. And I'm going to be honest, too. I had a very good, and I hated to move away from him. I moved about a year ago, but I had a very good personal physician. He was not my rheumatologist. He was just my GP. I was also taking care of my parents at the time. They were in our home, which added a lot to my physical stress and strain. But I opened up to him a lot, and he was very helpful. So opening up to someone, praying simple prayers, spending time in the Psalms and with the passages that try to point us to him and away from ourselves. I've got to get out of myself to feel better. And I think that's the very biggest thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like in my own life, there. I just had a talk session a couple of years ago where I talked about sharing the things I'm thinking with the people that I trust and the people that I love, and asking them, like, people that I know will tell me what is true in the Bible and what is true about God, and asking them, like, I'm feeling this, but is this real? Is this actually what is true? And that is just so powerful. And for me, you mentioned Psalm 100. For me, as I have also struggled with this, it was Psalm 103, and just, like, opened my eyes to, oh my goodness, like, God's not like, pull yourself together, Sarah. He's, like, wanting to step into it with us and help us be loved by him. Like, yeah, it's a long, hard paradigm shift. But when I started to read the Bible with this lens of, let me look for where God's love is, it's every single chapter. It's all through it.
Absolutely. Thank you. And thank you, Norma, for that question.
Yeah. Hang on. There we go. Tom says, are there practical things you do in your moments of worst pain? I'm hitting one of my spots now.
Yes, there are practical things I do. One thing I do is I take more naps. Even when I don't think I have time to take a nap, when I feel like I've got so many things to do, and I know it's not always possible to take one, but when there are possibilities, if you can lie down and be still, I just found that it helps some. But also just praying, Lord, have mercy on me. And like the Apostle Paul, he doesn't always take it away, right? He doesn't always take the pain away. But for me to have a continual conversation with God is strengthening. And it means that I'm not alone. I know he's there. I know he doesn't enjoy me being in pain. That helps a lot. I really like coffee, and I like to grind it fresh. And the one luxury I give myself in life is good coffee beans. And I grind a nice pot of fresh coffee. And sometimes I just sit on the porch or something and drink that coffee and just sort of rest. Solitude, and it seems counterintuitive there, but I mean solitude in nature, just sitting outside in nature a little bit, getting outside if it's possible. And we're just now sort of getting into that time in most of the country where we can get back out a little bit. But I like to look at birds. I'm telling you, I know this doesn't sound practical, but for me to look at birds flying around and listen to them is very helpful to me. And then I went through something with the Cleveland Clinic about immune system and chronic pain, and it was not medical, not medication. It was on guided meditation, light exercise, getting enough sleep, eating well, and just taking care of some of those things, deep breathing. You know, your worst pain, just sitting still and breathing deeply. But one of the other and most practical, and I'm going to end with this one, Tom, is reaching out to other people that I know are struggling and in pain and checking on them. There's something about that helps me to feel better. So yeah. Thank you for that question. And I'm going to remember, Tom, I'm going to remember and pray for you today. And whenever the Lord brings you to my mind, I'll be praying for you.
Your next question is from Lauren. Lauren asks, what was your logo inspired by? Oh, I'm going to say this all wrong. Do you know how to say it?
Kintsugi.
And the reference in scripture.
I'm going to say that one of our other speakers, who's our president of our board, David Heflin, he's going to be coming up. He's the one that came up with the logo, but yes, that is true. That is where it comes from. And it's inspired by both things. Yes. So that was really insightful there. Yeah. You're exactly right. Jars of Clay. And also, I'm sure I butchered Kintsugi too, but I think that's how it's pronounced.
Andre says, dear Tim, how has chronic illness impacted, even positively, your work as a professor?
Greetings, Andres. I know Andres well. He's in Chile. He's in the Patagonia region, which is really cool. I want to go visit him sometime. I think the biggest thing as a professor is being much more gracious to my students. And I teach for an online university that our median age is like 36, and people are dealing with life. They're not just, you know, they might be working full time. They may be dealing with sick family members, may have sickness themselves. And I pray more for my students, and I really try to be personally connected to them and involved with them, because I want to be an encourager and a giver. And I think less about being a professor than more of a friend and facilitator for them to learn on the journey with me. So it definitely has made an impact.
That's really cool. I'm a student, I don't need to explain how I'm a student, but I'm a student. And my several of my professors themselves have, or like teachers themselves have illnesses, or like a spouse has an illness. And so it's amazing the difference and the compassion that they have, and the way it's allowed me to be flexible with my own needs. So that's really cool how God has brought that.
It's about our weakness, recognizing it. So.
Mm-hmm. Broken and Mended, whom I'm guessing maybe is David, says, how does supportive community play a role in remembering our worth?
It is invaluable. And I can say that after not having supportive community for a long time, and then, you know, finding Broken and Mended in particular, and Diamonds now. Also, I've been looking forward to this so much, and finding other people. Recognizing that we're not alone, that other people are struggling, but they're also still alive. You know, they're still moving forward. My dad, who's a retired professor, retired counselor, and I had him for a counseling graduate course 30 years ago, over 30 years ago. But he used to always ask the very first counseling course, Introduction to Counseling, how many of you have been through something that you didn't make it through? And people would always raise their hand. He'd say, well, what are you doing here if you didn't make it through? So community reminds us that we can make it through, and that we're still alive. And we still have value. We still have worth. And we can, just in supporting each other and showing up in those supportive communities is highly impactful.
Broken and Mended, there's like different support groups and things. How would someone watching get involved in the community in Broken and Mended?
Go to brokenandmended.org. Yeah.
Link below.
And you can go on there and find resources, but you can also find live support groups. We're spreading across the United States, and we're also, Kenya is where we really have the most. Right now, they are surpassing us in the U.S., but you can go there. There is a monthly online only, and we're looking to start more of those as we move forward. It really has taken off. But if you'll go there and send a message to us, email me at tim@brokenandmended.org, or you can find us on X and Facebook and all those places. And there's a Facebook group that meets along with a live in-person group once a month also. So if you live somewhere where you can't get to a live group, an in-person group, I mean, you can still be part of a live group just online.
That's awesome. Yeah. I think we have, well, we'll see. We might have time for some more questions. But first, we have a question from Jill, who says, how can a spouse of someone with severe chronic pain be most helpful and encouraging? Also, how can I best care for myself?
Okay, very good question. The first thing I would say is understand when that spouse, when your spouse says, I really don't feel like doing that today or doing that tonight. If you want to have a follow-up question, if it's, are you just tired and you're feeling a little depressed? Are you hurting? And if they say, I'm really hurting and I just don't think I can participate in that and enjoy it, it's difficult to kind of go solo sometimes. And my wife would say, sometimes I have to go solo, or I have to go take these kids, you know, by myself. But I'll do that. At the same time, sometimes those of us who suffer from chronic pain need to be pushed a little bit to go be with people. So maybe don't expect so much, but don't excuse everything. Don't let every excuse come along. So you can say, hey, I'm sorry you're hurting. I know you can't do this, but maybe this next time you can do something. Also, if they get down on themselves and they start, you know, a little thing for me was having to pay someone to mow my lawn. My son was too small at the time. He's big enough now. Just got him a new riding lawnmower. He's big enough to do it now. He's taller than me now. But at the time when I was really not able to physically do any of that, I had to let other people do it. And I would come in and complain. And my wife was like, well, they're doing a good job. I don't know why you're complaining. I was like, I'm sorry. It's sort of a man thing. I just want to take care of my own lawn. And they don't do it as well as I want them to. You know, it's not, I'm not judging them. It's just my, you know, it represents us in some way. Didn't define me or determine my value. But sometimes you just need to listen for a minute and say, you know, I appreciate you sharing that. I love you. And hugs help a lot. So I hope that helps. Best caring for yourself. You probably need to get away from it and be around people who can give you some energy and strength and encourage you. And just be honest. You know, hey, I'm tired myself. I'm discouraged. I feel like I am doing it on my own. And that doesn't mean I don't want to go through it with you. But being very honest with yourself, and I highly recommend counseling if you need it. But definitely plugging in as much as possible with your church. If you don't have a good church family, find one or find some support groups like that. But we have people come to a support group that are spouses too, and they may help to hear some of that. So very good question. Thank you.
Yeah, Jill, I feel like between myself and my husband, when he sees me, like the way that he helps me most is seeing when I'm in pain and like caring for me in that, but also seeing me beyond just my symptoms and beyond the like illnesses that I have or anything like that, and just being with me, whatever that like looks like, which I think can vary so much depending on the situation, but just being a partner rather than like I can feel a lot of guilt and shame for like the burden or the things that it might add to my husband. So I mean, just echo what Tim was saying earlier of like, yeah, find community. The way you can best care for yourself, you need community. It's a full-time job to be a caregiver sometimes. And so I hope that you can find that. And so speaking of that, Broken and Mended mentioned the blog Called to Watch, which I have no idea how many times I've sent people to this blog because it's really great for caregivers and I mean, honestly for those who have chronic illnesses to understand things from the caregiver perspective. I also, Jill, wanted to mention that we are doing a session. Nate Brooks is teaching a session later in the conference. You can check the website for the schedule, specifically for caregivers. He himself is a caregiver, and so his wife is teaching a session, and he's teaching a session specifically for caregivers. So I would recommend popping on that as well. Yeah,
very good. And also on Broken and Mended, we have a podcast, at least one, where we have family members on there who are caregivers who talk about dealing with that too. So, you know, even knowing you're not alone in that,
yeah, I think it's
helpful. So listening, I did notice a couple of comments about breath prayers. I highly recommend breath prayers. And I didn't really call it that, but some of that was what I was talking about earlier. I never quite know if everybody's going to know what I'm talking about when I say something like that. So if you do know that for sure.
Yeah. Well, we are out of time for questions, but would you like to share what you have donated as a giveaway item?
I've donated a mentoring session. So if you if you're struggling, you want somebody to talk with directly to encourage you to ask more questions and try to get some more response, I definitely want to help you there. And I do hope you'll check out the study guide because I've put some resources on there. And I want to plug a book I have no money in by Ken Boa and Jenny Abel, Shaped by Suffering, How Temporary Hardships Prepare Us for Our Eternal Home. That has helped me immensely to get perspective. So I highly recommend that book. And Ken Boa talks from a caregiver support perspective, and Jenny talks from a sufferer perspective, and so very helpful.